The thing about Cuomo is the same thing about Weinstein. Weinstein, whatever his name is. It's the same thing about Matt Lauer, okay? And as a guy, I was going to say mildly horrified. I think it's more than mild. I think I'm horrified on more than a mild level about these guys. Cuomo was in a position of authority, governor, and he had people working for him, and he used the fact that he was in that position of authority to take liberties with women. And nobody really stopped him for the longest time. I mean, it was essentially Bill Cosby without the sleeping medication, all right? Which somehow makes it slightly worse, I don't know. Just the fact that nobody called him on it, nobody was like, hey, you need to knock this off. He was governor for a long time before these stories started to surface. And finally, you know, got to get a little bit of traction, and then the next thing you know, people were like, well, we can't have a guy like that running the state of New York. And then you pile that on top of the nursing home deaths and the abysmal way in which he handled COVID, which I think a lot of people in the news media knew was coming to light as all of this was coming through. But that's just one case. You know, like I said, you had the same situation with Harvey Weinstein. Weinstein had a lot of power. He could make or break your career. I could tell you the names of a couple of actresses who didn't give in to him, who disappeared. Mira Sorvino is a perfect example. Well, girl won an Oscar, okay? That's how good an actress she was. And Weinstein was like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to do this with me. And she was like, I'm not doing any of that stuff. And he was like, well, your career's over. And guess what? It was. What's the last thing you saw Mira Sorvino in? Probably a Hallmark Christmas movie, if you watch those. Matt Lauer, a guy in my own industry, who I just find horrifying, because he just got bolder and bolder and bolder about it. A button underneath his desk that he could push that the door would slam and lock, and now he had women trapped. And I mean, again, a very powerful guy that could make you or break you. And then, of course, you had Roger Ailes over at Fox. And just so many real dirtbags. And I look at them and I think, see, the problem here is that all men, and especially powerful men, are going to be judged by the way you guys have behaved. Suddenly it's going to be like, well, every guy who's in power acts that way. And that's not necessarily true. I've known several powerful men who would never in a million years behave that way and do their absolute level best to live godly and Christ-like lives. They fail miserably, of course, as we all do, but they give it their best shot, you know? So that sort of thing is offensive to me, and it ties in with more current events because every once in a while, you do run across somebody who makes an asinine, racist statement. And all that does is create a flag that the media can point to and go, see, see, they are racist. They're all racist. Racist is becoming a little bit like global warming, okay? There was a time when it was, well, look out. I mean, the temperature of the globe is warming up and, you know, it's going to get hotter and that's not going to be good for anybody. And because they couldn't get their way and they weren't able to pass legislation and they couldn't get people to behave the way they wanted them to, that became, oh, my God, the climate is changing. It's making these vast swings from left to right, up and down. And this is a nightmare. And pretty soon New York City is going to be underwater and it's going to be awful. And they had to make the more dire predictions daily in order to get any sort of notification or notice whatsoever. The problem with that is they've been making these dire predictions since the mid-1990s. None of them have come true. I mean, not the first one. So racism, well, everyone's a bunch of racists. Well, there's this underlying feeling of racism. Well, there's systemic racism. And I'm thinking, I grew up in the same country you did. I grew up in a lot of the same areas that you did. I'm not seeing this racism. I'm mixing with people of all colors. I'm at social events with people of all colors. I'm at sporting events with people of all colors. I'm at church with people of all colors. What am I missing here? Where's the systemic racism? Where's the underlying, undercurrent racism that's taking place that I'm missing here? Well, because that doesn't get people's attention and it's not strong enough, we have now taken a bold leap to, are you ready? Racism is yesterday. Racism was so 10 minutes ago, as the children say. The children still say that, don't they? Or was that so 10 minutes ago? Now, everyone's a white supremacist. All right? That's a huge leap. Now, I want to tell you something. I have survived somehow 58 years on the planet. You know, I think a good, let's just say 40 of those have been as an adult, assuming that 18 is the age of maturity. I have yet, in all my born days, in all the travails and travels that I have made on life's highway, I have yet to meet a single white supremacist. I have yet to meet a single person who believes that the white race is superior to all other races and that all other races should kowtow and bow down to the white race and that those races should be subservient to the white. I've yet to meet a single person who believes those things. And yet somehow, according to MSNBC, Joy Reid, some folks on CNN, every one of us is. We're all white supremacists. Oh, my. It's, if it wasn't so sad, you'd have to laugh, right? You'd just have to laugh. But it is sad. It's sad and it's disturbing. Because it is that kind of divisive language that is keeping us from becoming not just the great country that we could be, but the great humanity that we could be. People squabbling over what really amounts to a little bit of power. In the grand scheme of things, your lifespan of 78, 85, 92 years is nothing. In the grand scheme of things. And you're going to spend your time dividing humankind? I grew up in a world where Star Trek was the gold standard. That's what we were all aiming for. Look at that. On the bridge, you had Chekhov. You had Uhuru. You had Sulu. You had, obviously, Captain Kirk. You had a Vulcan, a guy from a whole other planet, who was serving with, you know, Starfleet Command. And everything was clean, and all the problems had been solved, and money wasn't an issue for anybody. And that was kind of what we were aiming for, right? And the reality here is that we're just getting farther and farther away from that. And we're getting farther and farther away from that by design, because there are people... There are people right now in our media, in our mass media, in media that is pouring, spilling out into people's homes all across this country, who basically behave like this. If I'm not going to get my way, I am going to call you names and throw things. I want my way. My way is that we are going to begin handling things in a socialist system, and we're going to have a critical race theory, and white people are going to be knocked down a peg, and we're going to teach them a lesson. And if I don't get those things, then all I'm going to do is call people names, and I'm going to make sure that nobody gets what they want. The idea of coming together, working together, achieving things together is just out in a whole other planet for these folks. And you could say, well, Donald Trump is the one who started it. Oh, please. This was around long before Donald Trump. Don't you remember the scorn that was heaped on George W. Bush? Don't you remember the scorn that was heaped upon George H.W. Bush? Ronald Reagan? Yeah. The idea of working together has been a long, slow disappearing act. It's not something that happened overnight. It didn't happen under one president. And it didn't happen because of Kyle Rittenhouse or because of Daryl Brooks Jr. Or it doesn't. It's no one incident. It's been a long, slow, steady decline that has been taking place. And it's been happening on all of our watches, you know, and we're letting it happen. I think that the best defense against something like this is when they start talking that way, don't listen. Because I've said it since we started this show, God knows how long ago, 6 years and some months. If you turn off your TV, don't turn off your radio for the love of God, that would be terrible. But if you turn off your TV and you go out and you actually spend time with other people, go bowling. Go to the movies. Go to a UAB game. Go to the high school football championship games that are taking place. And spend time with other real live people. You know what you're going to find? Everybody gets along great.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.